everyone. Welcome to Mill City again. My name is Stephanie. I'm the lead pastor here. We're so glad that you're joining us.
And I'm Ashish. I'm the worship and teaching pastor here. Today, we're going to do a little bit of a different thing with the sermon. We're actually going to invite you into a time of reflection and journaling. And so if you came in, you should have gotten a journal. If you didn't get a journal, would you raise your hand? And someone will come by. I believe Kara says the journal's there. We have a couple in front. Oh, yeah, perfect.
Sweet. So we have been here at Mill City in a conversation digging into the Psalms. So if you're visiting with us, we're jumping in just talking about a different psalm each week and the different types of psalms and how they help us connect to God. And we're just calling this conversation Relating. We are looking at what it means to be able to relate to an unchanging God in an ever-changing world. And so the Psalms, they give us this picture of the breadth and the depth of the emotions that we have that we are invited to share in our relationship with God, to bring to God. And it's so cool to see that God just created all of us with this deep capacity for just this breadth of emotions and feelings. And we've been using this feelings wheel here. There's actually a lot of different feelings wheels that have even more options for you if you're into it, so you can check that out. But as you look at this, we've been thinking about how God invites us to bring all of our emotions that we experience, all of them on this wheel and more, to our relationship with God. And I think this has been a good season to have this conversation because this last month especially, I have noticed Minnesotans have been showing like a whole range of feelings and emotions specifically related to the deep emotions they have in all directions regarding the Timberwolves basketball team we have here.
Yep.
It's been a rough week.
It has been a rough week.
It's been a rough week. And if you're not familiar, the Timberwolves, our NBA team, has gone farther than they have in 20 years.
Yep.
But it's been a rough week. Pastor Ashish, he's from Wisconsin. He's even got a t-shirt. We brought him over.
Timberwolves t-shirt, yeah.
Yes.
Before you clap, every game that I have watched, they have lost. But the games that I don't watch, they win. So
we're going to keep you busy tonight?
Tonight, yep.
But I'm telling you, I have seen this entire feelings wheel in my living room in like a 90-minute moment.
Yep.
Like 90 minutes, I've seen people go from just like hope and then hope being lost, despair, sadness, oh my goodness, like game 7 of the last series. Oh, wait, they're coming back. Joy, anticipation, surprise. Oh, yay, they won. Oh, they lost the first two in the series. Despair, glimmers of hope, emotions are all over the place. So, you know, this is us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Pastor Ashish, I'd also like you to know that there is like a pretty good chance that championship game of the professional women's hockey game tonight. So we're doing pretty good at professional women's hockey.
I don't know.
That hasn't been the same roller coaster, has it, Brenda? It hasn't. So if you want to jump on that train, it might just be easier for everyone's emotions.
Here we are.
And so we can see, I mean, obviously professional sports is a funny thing to joke about, but we have just a range of emotions sometimes around one situation, don't we? Yeah. And that's in so many different things in life, sometimes in a short period of time. And as we've been digging into the Psalms and the emotions that we're invited to bring, we think of lament and confession and the place in life for joy and for wonder. I have noticed in my life, and I think in the conversations I've had with many of you, that one of the things that we struggle with is at times bringing all of our emotions to God. That's something that a lot of us struggle with, bringing all of our emotions to God. And there might be various barriers that we all have to bringing our emotions to God, but there is one that is a big one, and that's that we easily project on our relationship with God the insecurities that come from our relationships with other humans. And so maybe you've noticed human relationships are risky. Yes? And so, you know, even friendship, right? You're extending friendship. You don't know if it's going to be reciprocated. And then there's the, you know, you're falling in love, but that might not be the same experience for the other person. Mm-hmm. And even our kids, like we love our little kids so deeply, but sometimes they can't understand the depth of emotion and love we have for them in our hearts. And so sometimes their responses are a little bit painful at times, right? I mean, but they're kids, you know? And I think of how just in all of the relationships we have as humans, we can face insecurities. And you don't have to look any further for relational insecurities than all of our relationship as Minnesotans with our sports teams. Yeah. That's relational insecurity right there, like in a nutshell. And so as we're finishing this conversation, here's something really important that we're hoping that you can take with you. Every time you're reading a psalm, anytime you hear a psalm quoted, can you remember this important reality? And that is that when we relate to God, it is always a response to God first relating to us.
Yeah.
When we relate to God, it is always our response to a God who first related to us. So God loved us first. God extended relationship to us first. And we see this throughout the Psalms. Here's just some examples. Psalm 3, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I have been always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness." Psalm 26. Psalm 117, "Great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." When we relate to God, it is always a response to God first relating to us. And of course, the best example of this is God coming to this earth in the person of Jesus to show just how committed our relationship, that God is to our relationship. Mm-hmm. So we can deepen our trust and we can reciprocate that love rather than like hoping it's going to be reciprocated to us. Yeah. And so that means our relationship with God has the potential to be the most secure relationship of all. Mm-hmm. And so we can recognize, as we'll see in our psalm today, that God is always with us. In our psalm today, it says, God is ever present. The psalms can be a gateway for us to open up our hearts and help us express our range of emotions to God. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we grow in trust in our relationship with God. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at Psalm 46. So if you have a Bible or an app, or we'll have it up here on the screen. And as we do that, we're going to just kind of look at the context a little bit. So Pastor Ashish is going to give context to this specific psalm, Psalm 46.
Yeah, Psalm 46. You can turn there with us. One of my favorite things to do is actually carve out time to listen to an album in its entirety. The thing that songwriters do is when they write a song, the song tells a story, but sometimes they put all those songs together and the album tells an even more beautiful story when you listen to all the songs from start to finish. And when we look at Psalm 46, we have to think of it like a song in the middle of an album, where you need to look at the context before it and the context after it. Yes, you can sing Psalm 46 over and over again, but the true beauty and meaning behind it lies when it's listen to in the midst of all these psalms. Now, these psalms were written by this group called the Sons of Korah. You'll see their name pop up throughout the Bible. But the Sons of Korah write the psalms beforehand. The Sons of Korah were this generation that was responsible for the things that happened in and outside the temple. They were the worship leaders of the people. And so we'll look at the beginning in Psalm 42 through 44. These are psalms of lament that the Sons of Korah write. And a quick glance at these psalms will reveal the depth of their honesty before God. You'll read prayers like, "Why have you forgotten me? Why have you rejected me?" The Sons of Korah feel so secure in their relationship with God that some of the laments even turn accusatory. They say, "Why do you sleep, God?" Throughout all the generations, they have witnessed times of peace and times of deliverance, but they've also experienced times of war and captivity and also times of exile. The Sons of Korah sing about how in these dark days, their souls are downcast. But they continue to say, "I will hope in you. No matter how dark the days get, I will rest in your unfailing love." After Psalm 42 through 44, the Sons of Korah write Psalm 45, and this is a song for the king. And they talk about how in these dark days, the king will come and rule with truth and humility and justice. The king will accomplish amazing things. The king may even make some of the wrong things right. But the Sons of Korah know the story of the people and how even the greatest kings are not strong enough to save.
Yeah.
That there are still greater things to fear, greater dangers to face, that they will still have to walk through brokenness and sin. And so then we get to Psalm 46, where the Sons of Korah turn to the only one who can save. And here we read that they write, "God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear because the Lord Almighty is with us. In the midst of all these dark days, the God of Jacob is our fortress." The word that they use for Lord in Hebrew is the word Yahweh, and this was the personal name for God. It was revealed to the Old Testament prophet Moses, and it was a name that reminded the people that this God was a God who would keep God's covenant, that this God was compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love, that this God wasn't distant, but a God who was close even on their darkest days. And so as we read Psalm 46, would you reflect not only on this context of going from lament into this time of remembering God is with us? And would you also ask the questions that we've been asking in this series of What does the psalm say about the unchanging character of God? And also, what does the psalm say about being humans in relationship with God? And so with this in mind, we're going to read Psalm 46. Psalm 46 says this, "For the director of music of the sons of Korah, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.'"
Some of us have been reading one psalm a day, every day here together, and you can join in with us if you'd like. And I just love thinking about how these words have been used in so many different languages for thousands of years for people and communities to be able to help them deepen their relationship with God. It really gives us that connection to the history of people who have worshiped God for so long. And I think about how Psalms can help us to express our emotions that sometimes otherwise we'd have a struggle to be able to express. And so we can see this, the evidence of the range of how psalms help us express ourselves to God when we think about the visual art that's been created. Look at some of these pieces of art that different artists have created when they think about and they read these words from Psalm 46, just bringing them out into the canvas or onto the page, just opening up their creativity as they let their emotions come out through art in that form. Many people have developed poems or musical songs, of course. So here's a poem that I think is just beautiful by Parker Perriella, inspired by Psalm 46. "The world shakes, the ground breaks, but still, my God, you are. My heart aches, the mountains quake, but my help is never far. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, my refuge and my strength. Though my world is crashing down, I rest under your mighty wing. Therefore, I will not be afraid. The Lord of hosts is with me. I shall not wither or want as long as I drink from your living stream." Now, some of us might not consider ourselves poets, and certainly we're not all as musically inclined as Pastor Ashish here, but he made a little bit of a mistake and told me that he had recently helped write a song about this psalm. I don't think you thought that was going to get on the stage.
It was a personal text.
It was a personal song. Whoopsies. So anyway, here it is. But I just asked him to show, even though that most of us can't write a song like this, but to show what meditating on a text like this and allowing those emotions to come to the surface, how that could be expressed. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I gathered together with a couple other worship leaders around the city, and we just had this time of sharing what was happening in our life at the moment. And as we were sharing, we discovered that for all of us, we were either in a place of being afraid or being in awe. There was kind of no in-between. And as we talked through being afraid and being in awe, one of the things that came to the surface was God had met us in every single one of those places. And so then we thought, well, what's our response to God? If God is with us in the times we're afraid and God is with us in the times where we're in awe, and we were drawn to Psalm 46, which says, "Be still and know that I am God." And so we thought, okay, what would it look like to just be still before God? And we thought, like, we imagined, what would it look like to actually be in the throne room and sit before God's throne? What would we say when we're afraid? What would we say when we're in awe? And we were like, maybe we'll construct a poem or we'll construct a song. Like, we'll just be so eloquent with our words. And as we got to it, we just discovered, you know, the only thing that we probably would say is, "I love you." And that's it. And so in the song, you'll see this posture of being still, but also this praise of "I love you." And the chorus of the song says, "Emmanuel, God with us, Emmanuel, God with me." And it comes from, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress in times when we're afraid or in times where we're in awe."
God, take heart and know that you are here. I'll be still and know that you are God. Take heart and know that you are here. Cause when you speak, the waves stand still. When you move, my heart is filled with praise. Oh, I love that you are Emmanuel, God with us, Emmanuel, God with me. Oh, be still. And know that you are God. Take heart and know that you are here. Cause when you speak, the mountains bow. When you move, creation sings your praise. Oh, I love that you are Emmanuel, God with us, Emmanuel, God with me. You're the wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, mighty God, Prince of Peace. I love that you are wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, mighty God, Prince of Peace. I love that you are Emmanuel, God with us.
Now, fortunately, if you decide to write some poetry or a song, you probably won't be forced to do that so quickly. Thank you for doing that, Ashish.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's such an important point. Like, for most of us, we're not people who can write a professional song or maybe even do a professional artwork or poems. But God invites us to use all of ourselves to express ourselves to God. And like a parent takes the artwork of a child and puts it on the refrigerator, man, it's not going to have to be on the screen most of the time. It's between us and God. And so maybe there is a song in your heart that you didn't know was there. Maybe there's some words in a poem that are right there on your lips. Maybe there is some art that you could take just any medium and just express yourself in that way to God. I encourage you to just give it a try, because no one, I will not at least, make you put it on a stage unless you're Ashish. So you can see just all these different ways. And, you know, really in song is such a common way that the Psalms have been put to music. But another practice that's very common that I want to invite us in today is the practice of rewriting a psalm kind of in our own words, allowing the psalm to give us structure for the prayers that we're going to pray. And so people have done this over the years, again, in your personal prayer journal, just for you and for God, and just between you and Jesus. But to be able to express things, it helps us to bring some things out that maybe we are feeling that we don't realize are there in our minds or in our hearts or our souls. And so today we're going to do a version of this. I'm going to walk you through it. It's going to be really simple, just kind of step by step. And again, whatever you write here, this is just between you and Jesus, not anyone else. We're not going to have you turn them in on the way out or anything like that. But our hope is that you would do this practice today with us, and perhaps it would open up your mind and heart to trying this on your own, or even with a group of people. You could pick a psalm and rewrite it and share it with each other in some way. And so we're going to go section by section as we rewrite this psalm together. So the first is section 1, And when you look at those first three words, the first three verses of this Psalm 46, it's very personal. It starts with the psalmist's heart and the psalmist turning towards God. God is our refuge and our strength, our personal, ever-present help in trouble. And so I just want to invite us, as we think about our lives, the way that the psalmist describes the mountains crashing into the sea, sometimes it feels like our lives are falling apart like that. But even in the midst of that, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help, our Emmanuel. And so I want to invite you just to be able to take these words. You'll see it up on the screen. You can rewrite these words from the psalm, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Or you can even skip right to God is, and then think about who God is to you right now. Perhaps it's Jesus is my closest friend, or God is my hope in this season. And then just adding Jesus, I pray, and then any prayer you have for yourself or the people close to you in your life. Jesus, I pray, and maybe you want to write some names or something happening in your own life and write those out. So we'll give you just a couple of minutes as Pastor Ashish plays just to reflect and to write.
Now, for some of you, I know that that wasn't enough time. And what I'd encourage you to do is take this with you when you go home. And if there's a prayer that you still need to pray, write those things down when you get home. We'd encourage you to keep dwelling and expanding on what's written there. But now we're going to go into our second section, Psalm 46, 4 through 7. Now, the song goes from waters that are chaotic and bring fear to a river that sustains or makes glad. Now, this river was symbolic compared with the waves earlier that would seek to destroy. The river would provide sustenance. We see this throughout the Bible, the images of God's presence being places where there is life, where there is provision. And because God is present, the psalmist says the city will not fall. And I find it fascinating how there are so many things that are falling in this passage. You see the mountains fall, the kingdoms fall, these great things that were supposed to be immovable. If I'm reading the psalm, I'm thinking, well, who can be safe? If the mountains are falling, if the kingdoms are falling, is there any hope for me? But the authors continue to remind us that the Lord Almighty is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. And so for this next section, we want to zoom out from just our personal story, and we want to zoom out to the city and our neighborhoods, because we believe that the presence of God is with us in Minneapolis. We believe that the presence of God is here. Now, there are places in the city of peace as well as places of suffering. Even this weekend, I think there are those in the city that are celebrating a long weekend. But I know for many in our city, this is also a reminder of the 4-year anniversary of George Floyd being killed. And so in our city, there are people who are experiencing joy and also grief and uncertainty and clarity and everywhere in between. And what we believe is that the God of Jacob is with us and that the Lord Almighty is our fortress. And so for this next section, would we let the psalm lead us in praying for our city and our communities? You can write, and this is on the screen, you can write, God, this is your city, a place where the Most High dwells. We know that you are at work, so we pray these prayers for our community. And then write a few prayers on your heart for the Twin Cities, perhaps maybe even for the specific city in which you live. Pray for God's kingdom to come and also God's provision in the specific needs you know about in your neighborhoods. So would we bring these prayers to God?
So when we move to the next section, verse 8 and 9, as you look at the words, you can see it just kind of pulls us to look at the world around us, just to allow our hearts to take in what's happening in our world. And I think about this all the time, how we live in a time where information travels more quickly than ever in history. You know, like the celebrations and the excitement, triumph from around the world can be here in seconds, as well as the war and the sorrow and the pain and the images and the words that come with that can be right here in just seconds. And so we've all had our hearts broken when we read about and see images of the violence happening around our country, around the world. There are so many conflicts happening in our world today. And I know for so many of us, one that's just deep on our heart is the violence that's happening in Gaza. It weighs on our hearts, doesn't it? I mean, it just is deep for us. We're reading these scriptures in these settings where the historical setting of so many stories in scripture are right there where this violence is happening. And when I think about this, I think about verse 9 where it just says, God makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. This image of God just taking apart these weapons. God's heart is that there would be no violence and war on earth. When we read about the people around the world that are experiencing this violence or losing their life, or the people, the children and families being killed in Israel and Gaza, many of us, when I think about it, I just feel like a desperation. And I feel this just wanting to cry out to anyone who will listen to God, we want this violence to end. And when you feel that, that is God's heart beating in yours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We think about Memorial Day weekend and the fact that many of us are pausing to remember lives taken by war. And it breaks God's heart that so many lives have ended tragically by violence. We can honor those and also have our hearts broken, can't we? War and its violent and deadly consequences are not a part of what God originally intended for this world. So we can let a psalm like this and many others lead us in prayers for peace and for God's restoration. And not only that, they can lead us to be able to listen for God's leadership in our lives, how we can be a part to respond to what God is doing and join in that restoration. We can allow the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and empower us to join in and be peacemakers, to join God's heart for justice in this world. And then finally, these psalms can help us look forward in hope to when Jesus will return and the fighting will cease and all the wars will end for good. And so as you turn the page and just look at these final space before the conclusion in our response, we're zooming out and looking at our world, and you can write this or just start writing your own prayers. You don't have to write what's on the screen, but just, God, you are present in our world, even in the midst of violence. We know that you are a God of peace. So we pray these prayers for those suffering in our country and in our world. And then allow your heart to spill out onto the page for the things that are happening in our country and our world.
And now we move to the final section of our psalm. Psalm 46, 10 to 11. Remember, we get to read this psalm in context. And in Psalm 42, in Psalm 43, in Psalm 44, in Psalm 45, God doesn't speak. And then finally in Psalm 46, God speaks. The nations are in uproar. The mountains fall down. The waves quake with their surging. The world is falling apart. And God says, be still. That is God's word to creation, God's word to the nations, God's word to the people, God's word to us, even in this room. Be still and know that I am God. Though darkness thought it had the final say, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And God says, I will be exalted among the nations. Mm-hmm. I will be exalted in the earth. Yeah. God will make the wrong things right. Amen. Amen. There's an invitation to surrender in awe of who God is. A reminder that God is in control, that God is greater, that God loves us and is with us. So is there an area in your life where the Spirit is inviting you to walk with awe and surrender? The conclusion of the psalm is often written as you see it here on the screen. It's a perfect prayer to pray when you need God's peace. It's sometimes called a breath prayer. And you can pray it wherever you are. And so, Jasmine, if you could throw those, that journal up there. So you can go ahead and copy this prayer down, and you can add anything else you want to communicate as you relate to God. The prayer is, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. God is exalted. The Lord Almighty is with us. Would we write down our prayers together? We relate to God, it is always a response to God choosing to relate to us. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This psalm is actually the foundation for the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And I love the verse of that hymn where it says, would we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is he. It's the ultimate way that God chose to relate to us. Jesus, God in the flesh, stepping down to save us, to set us free, and to invite us into a life that is full and filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit goes before us and invites us to join in the work that God is doing all around us. And so we're going to end our time remembering the faithfulness of God, remembering God's presence with us. We're going to do that through communion. We're going to do that through worship. But would these songs remind us who God is, that we serve a God who is with us, that we serve a God who is our fortress, a God who is going before us, who's making the wrong things right, and empowers us with the Spirit to join that work in our everyday spaces. To prepare our hearts, would you sing this prayer with me?